Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome to another episode of Early Work, the podcast in which I get my performer guests to read out the creative things they wrote or made when they were younger, ideally teenagers, maybe a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger. This week's guest is the comedian and actor Tom Rosenthal, friend of mine, one of my oldest friends in comedy, who came in and brought some stuff I never would have expected. It was absolutely insane. His stuff, he wasn't just reading it. He has recordings of all of it, right? And he hadn't listened back to it himself, so he didn't remember any of this stuff. He's cringing live at himself. Also, you'd expect he was actually quite proud of it. He was actually insanely proud of it. But it was incredible. He had some public speaking contests that he had done that were a bit dodgy morally in the modern world. And he also had some raps that you were probably already thinking are dodgy in the modern world. But he invented an entirely new genre of rap, which I'm fascinated for you to hear. And if you're lucky and you make it that far through the podcast, you get to listen to a parody rap that I did when I was 19. So, enjoy it. I'm going to go and have a cold bath for a year. Stepping up to the Early Work podium today is none other than Tom Rosentweets Rosenthal. Hello, Tom.
Stepping up to the podium suggests that it's already been done, right?
Well, yeah, sorry, I meant the sort of, what am I referring to?
What you meant to say is plate.
Stepping up to the plate? Yeah, oh, wait, so I'm not thinking reference. Of this as a sporting thing, it's more of a speech.
Oh, I see, the lectern.
The lectern, okay, yeah. Podium is when you've won or come second or third.
Yeah, you'll be the judge of that after you've
heard. Well, yeah. Tom, for those of you who don't know, is probably best known for being very pedantic, but also for appearing in a documentary that my brother made, a Talking Head documentary.
Oh, yeah!
Edinburgh 20...
Was it about comedy?
2009, 2010?
I remember doing an interview, but I don't remember anything that was said during it.
No, I
think
it's
been removed.
I also
remember that subsequently he got me some discount Apple products.
Well, there we go. Today's podcast is sponsored by Samsung. We did a Talking Head documentary that my brother and his friend Ali made, and it was me, you, Joe Lycett, my mate Liam, and a lady called Lisa, talking about our careers, given that we were all open micers, essentially.
Yeah.
All doing like, we're doing like 10-minute sets. And then he was just like, he basically said, Reese, we want to just make this thing where we just interview a bunch of like performers about why they're doing what they're doing. Who can you get us? And I was like, I'll get you some big names. Right, who's on the open spot scene that I'm aware of? Turns out, almost a high percentage of that documentary went on to be successful in those
areas. As I did the Lunchtime Club in 2011, and on the poster it said, see them before they were famous. And like it turns out that Rob Beckett and Joel Dommett did actually get really famous. Like, that's always a lie, surely, when it's like, they're not famous yet, but they will be.
Yeah, I mean, so, if you take all the times that a poster says see them before they're famous, I'd say that is absolutely the minority.
Yeah. Don't rely on that as a pitch.
Were you also well known for driving me to my first ever paid comedy gig?
Was it in Peterborough?
Yep.
Yes!
Paul Foot. What do you remember about this gig? It was the first time I got paid for comedy. It was very exciting.
It was lively,
you
wasn't it?
You had been paid before. It was rowdy.
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened to you while you were on stage?
No. Go on.
You just started opening up to audiences and telling them that your dad is the sports broadcaster Jim Rosenthal.
Uh-huh. Go on.
And you'd done it literally about three times on stage. And then you were on stage at this gig, maybe for the fourth time you were saying it. And then during the routine, your dad phoned you.
Oh, yeah!
Ever the professional Tom Rosenthal with his phone on in his pocket. And then the audience were all like, well, we love him, answer it. So then you answered it.
Yeah.
And they went mad. And that was the turning point of the gig. They became very rowdy after that.
It was...
Their expectations were too high of...
I was really scared about talking about him being my dad, because I didn't want everyone to... Like, that to be the thing that we knew about me, really. I wanted to try and become a kid meaning by myself. But then I found out that when you go to scary towns and you say it, it gets them on side way better than my personality. It wouldn't warm to me, but they very much had a lot of fun feeling towards my dad. I might have actually just pre-planned that to get my dad to ring me. Peterborough's going to be a tough gig, Dad. They're all like,
oh, so ring me at this time. You just got to hope the gig isn't overrunning.
Jim Rosenthal.
Texting him. I'm going on now. God,
and no, I don't remember that. As I said to you before the record, I remember basically nothing of my life.
Yeah, well, looking forward to this nostalgic podcast.
But that was that being really scary. And I remember you doing very well and thinking you were very funny, and also just generally, you know, that gig. I mean, comedy's always scary, but that gig was scarier than...
That gig was nuts. It really kicked off. Later in the gig, it really kicked off. Mm. But then we had a lovely... we basically had a... like a road trip.
Yeah.
What was it called? What am I thinking? A tailgate. We basically had a tailgate with Paul Foot in a separate car, stopped at the same services, he bought me a sausage. Right. Tom, if I had to guess what you were like at school, and I do, because it's the first format point of the show, I would say sporty, social, confident. But you strike me as the sort of guy who would always have projects on the go at school. For example, you'd like be the sort of person who would buy a camera and then get your mates to try and make their own version of Jackass.
I mean...
But you'd be directing it. Or... You were the sort of person who'd try and organise sort of like a mini Glastonbury at your own school.
Right. I'd say you're a bit closer on the first one than the second
one. The Jackass one.
I feel like you've watched my secondary school YouTube output.
Obviously, I haven't watched it. It was a big output, was it?
Within it. I'm not viral. It didn't even go semi-viral. But it was...
But it did feature KSI and Logan Paul.
A parody video of Pimp My Ride called Pimp My Toaster. It was the real zenith of my secondary school output.
Yes, I'm
not
so
on
good
YouTube
at this.
Anymore because it's obviously extremely embarrassing, but genuinely quite well made. I made the like video at the end of school for like the levers thing.
Yeah, sure.
Where I walked into school with like the handy cam of the time, and then I did the whole walk to 7.5 minutes walk or whatever and sped it up in iMovie, put the soundtrack to like American Beauty or something underneath it, or like Requiem for a Dream or something, and everyone watched that and they were crying and stuff. So.
Oh, it's just that classic teenage faux depth, isn't it? It's just that like, I'm going to make this so emotional. What am I going to do? I'll just use something else that was emotional.
Yeah.
I'll just exactly copy
Slow it
something
down.
Else.
Just put a bit of movie in it.
Was that the whole video? The whole Levers video was just that walk? We'll never do this walk again.
No. So the first half was the walk, right? And then the second half was like slow, like dissolves of all the rooms, and then just like panning over people's faces, laughing like everyone in school. It was really...
But that was it. So there's no content. It was just a music video.
Well, the DVD was actually, there was a few different things on it. Someone else did a sort of quite funny thing. Tristan, who actually was also in my Pimp My Ride parody. I don't know, what do you have at school? Did you have like people who were like funnier than you at school and now have not decided to pursue a career in comedy?
Yeah. Thousands.
Yeah.
But I think everyone, like most people were funny at school.
There was a few. Tristan was definitely one, and this guy called Sam Lee, and he's now like the head waiter at the Chiltern Firehouse or something like that. Just these like naturally like charismatic people who just don't decide to, when they say something funny, go home and like type it up and say, I'm going to say that again.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? With the naturally charismatic people who are naturally charismatic at school, they don't need it. Yeah. Right, because they were always fine.
It just generally
it's people like us who watch them and go, I'm going to be like that, but I'm going to do it by preparing every day before I go to school.
Yeah.
So he made some stuff for the DVD.
Yeah, he made a sort of funny, witty commentary where he was taking the piss, which again, when you look back at it, some of the jokes are a little bit off-colour. They're not very woke, but, you know.
Different time.
Different time.
I mean, I know that's a phrase people say, but it also was the time
where
two most popular comedians were Jimmy Carr and Frankie Boyle.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So that is the sort of joke that there was. I mean, I recently found an old student newspaper that I edited and co-created. And in it, my brother, the aforementioned, had written this like article. He wasn't even at the school anymore. He's 3 years older than me, and this would have been in sixth form. We just said, oh, we need some fill more space. So he wrote some gags, some like topical gags, and some of them are a little bit dodgy. But at the time, it was like, they're pretty tame compared to the Frankie Boyle era of what was going on. But that was what the mainstream comedy was at the time.
And I guess, you know, Frankie Boyle and Jimmy Carr, so what you like about them, there is probably a little bit more working under the surface than just like a blanket, like a effect.
Oh, they were better than my brother, yeah.
And I think when you're a kid, you don't really realise that. You just think it's funny to make fun of people who are different. The things they can't control to make their lives worse.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's easy.
That's the crucial point when you're 16, you can't do it.
You want to do it. So those DVDs, are they being, were you, what, were they released? Were you given, handed them out?
I've still got one, yeah. I don't know if anyone would like to buy them. I might put them up for a limited time on YouTube.
Get in touch.
For the next,
get on the Twitter.
Yeah, for this podcast, I'll give you a month of the slow-mo.
I did actually notice you filmed yourself walking to the studio today. You're going to speed that up. And so it was the DVDs, and you had a YouTube channel, and that had Pimp My Toaster on it.
Yeah.
Later made famous by a Pimp My Ride routine that you used to do earlier in your stand-up career.
You're
obsessed with Pimp My Ride.
Yeah, it was a funny show.
Yes, fair enough. It was a funny show. It wasn't punching down.
It was doing very well.
These are people with hydraulics in their car, punching up big time. Spoilers. What other stuff would you have had on that YouTube, that TV channel?
Oh, that's a tough question to answer. Oh my God, I remember that. Oh, this is really bad again. I made a video called the 30 Euro Chav Challenge. Oh my God. So I went on holiday and I was like, you know, myself wearing like whatever, Ralph Lauren polo shirt, sort of like well to do, Jim Rosenthal's son.
Yeah.
You know, it's all right for me living in Berkshire. And I came up with the, you know, semi-comic but semi-hideous idea to spend 30 euros in, I think, Mallorca at the markets to give myself a complete outfit change to dress as chavvy as I could with 30 euros. And it was just me going into the shops and talking to the people and assessing what to wear. I ended up with like an England sort of skull cap, right, and then a fake England shirt and some like bulldog tattoos. And then I, the end of the video is quite funny, actually. I just went up to people trying to be their friend and like, no one would be my friend. And then again, the end of the video was like quite sad music of me sat on the beach by myself as a really lonely chav.
Actually, okay, there you go. It does have a message.
Yeah, exactly.
It actually has quite a woke message.
Don't change yourself to try and fit in.
No, sorry. No.
Go on, what's your...
That's not the message here.
Messages.
I'm trying to spin this so you don't get... So this isn't the last ever episode of this podcast.
Yeah,
I'm trying to spin this to say the message is that people don't treat quote-unquote chavs as regular humans, given that you were treated differently when you were dressed differently.
Okay. That's
so you were highlighting that these people are ostracised for no reason. That was the message, Tom. That's what you were aiming for. With the toaster thing, got no idea where you're going with that.
It's just a good gag, mate.
Just a sweet,
just
clean old parody.
Talking about toasters like they're talking about cars. That's really good, actually.
How were you pimping it? Just putting flames on it?
So... you know, they'd always say, we're going to put some 22s on this. Because it's like a wheel rim side. Stuck some 22s on the toaster.
That's quite good
out
stuff.
Different font 22s.
That's not bad stuff. How old were you then?
And he was going on about the different skins he was going to put on the... I mean, again, it was Tristan being funny. I was just filming it, editing it, and putting all the weird MTV... sort of filters on it and stuff.
How did you know how to do that when you were what?
14, geek. Like, absolute geek, yeah. Like, I taught myself Photoshop and I taught myself Final Cut very young. And, like, I'm so glad I did that. I have literally no idea. As I say, my upbringing was really nice. Like, my parents didn't make me get a job. They were just like, focus on your schoolwork. And, I, you know, I did do that. But also, you still have a lot of time. So I just learned all this, like,
I learned how to touch type, and I learned anything that I felt could give me like a computer savvy ability. And so, you know, when you do Photoshop when you're 14, other kids at school think it's magic.
Yeah.
Like, I would go in every day with like I'd made like a parody film poster with like someone from the class in it. And I know it sounds really lame. Maybe at other schools you get beaten up for that, but at my school, everyone must have thought I was like,
wow,
really impressive.
That's amazing.
No, I think, to be honest, I think that was the sort of thing that people were always jealous of, because you could make things so cool. And especially the editing thing. There was always a couple of guys who were just like, oh, that Dan has a camera and it can edit us skating into these montages where we all look really cool with a fisheye lens.
It is lame thinking about it, but whenever I had got set a project in any class, I would always make a video. And so everyone always wanted to be with me so I could make like they could be in one of my dumb videos. Like, I remember for philosophy, I made a video and I was dressed up as René Descartes.
All right, actually, this is unique to your school. This is nonsense. How are you not getting beaten up for this? And what were you doing in the video?
Oh, just talking about the Cartesian demon and
it's quite Cartesian alienating, demon, actually, you know, this.
I just had a long wig, and I remember distinctly the philosophy teacher being quite annoyed that it was not at all about philosophy, and it was just us just pissing about.
Excuse for you to
dress up,
do a performance. Did you do much performing?
My career would.
To be honest, yeah. I've seen plebs. Did you do much performing outside of things you'd filmed? Did you do much live performance at school?
I didn't really do the plays, mainly because I wasn't that into them. I thought they're a bit naff. And then
that's you saying that.
1 year. Exactly. You've seen plebs. And then 1 year, the drama teacher was like, hey, listen, Tom, I think you're good. I want to put you in the play. If you audition, I'll give you a good part. It's Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. And I was like, all right, fine. I went along. I did an audition. I was like, pretty good, I thought. And then I was like, I should have been the Artful Dodger. And he gave me like Factory Man number 2 or whatever. And I just was like, I'm sorry, I'm never working for you again, mate. And like, it was like, that's the biggest rejection of my entire career, and I've used it to sort of motivate me. That feeling of being put as Factory Man number 2 when you should have been Artful Dodger.
But that happens. That happens all the time, where you're told, we want to see you for this.
Yeah.
And then you go in and then you get offered something terrible.
Yeah.
Or that only happened to me? You're a successful actor.
I feel like that's the only time it's happened to me.
Oh, really? Okay. But the amount of factory parts that I've actually taken because I wanted the cash.
That was you replaced me in that play, of course. And you were very good. So I did like house drama again, which is like where you write the play yourself and you direct it and stuff. So
can you remember any of those sorts of things?
Yeah, we did. We had 1 year we had to do a Carry On parody. Again, it's just so not woke. We did like Carry On NHS or something, where we had to, and luckily I had the kid who could like play a piano and write songs in my house as well, so our play was just well good.
God, it really seems like you just got a good team around you.
Yeah,
it's a really Oscar speechy, this.
That's
just
the
like
way.
I just want to thank, it's a lot more people than you know go into making something like this. Carry On NHS. What was Carry On NHS? Just a bit of in a hospital.
Yeah, exactly. Like, really weird, because obviously like all the girls in it, we were like 16 to 18. We had girls in our sixth form. And so it was like teachers helping you to write like lewd parody things about how big the boobs were of these like these 16-year-old girls, and you're like, guys, like,
oh my,
I was like,
God.
I'm sorry.
Are the teachers male?
Yeah, I mean, majority, yeah. And in this, I mean, you know, they'd say it was drama, and they'd say it was like a sort of homage to the way that we used to do comedy, but you're still then just doing that comedy.
Yeah.
For all these parents. I mean, like, if your daughter is in a play and someone's going like, ooh, matron, about her, like, big tits, how is that a sanctioned educational practice?
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I write one of those.
Did you write any sketches completely independently of, like, being in drama? Did you ever do any sort of like, oh, we've written this sketch and we're going to perform it in assembly type stuff?
So I didn't do anything like that. We had house public speaking as well. I mean, my school, Reading Blue Coat School, absolutely incredible for like extracurricular stuff. Like, if you are a person like us at that school, especially when I went there, it's just absolutely brilliant, because they did give you, I mean, they say house drama, where you write your own play and put it on and cast yourself and direct it yourself. And then we did, every year was a public speaking competition where some people would do like a persuasive speech where you just have to like set out an argument. Some people would do like what was called an after dinner speech, which was kind of like stand-up. Like, the premise was you had to do an after dinner speech for like a group of like rock stars, or you had to do an after dinner speech for like all the famous politicians or something like that, and then you just do jokes about them. It was a weird way of just basically framing doing jokes.
Essentially, it's a course on how to do a corporate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You learn how to do corporate gigs at school. That's wow, what a posh school that is. There's going to be a lot of corporate dollar when you get out of here. I don't want you looking like a fool.
And they also had to do one when it was like impromptu, where you get the title of the speech and you have to write a speech in 2 minutes, and the speech's got to be 5 minutes long, which is basically, you know,
wow,
like emceeing or whatever. It's like,
that's terrifying. That terrifies me now.
Yeah, it was really hard.
And these are competitive.
And obviously, and you're doing it in front of the whole year as well. So, I mean, I get really scared before gigs, but I remember getting really scared because I really wanted to be funny.
Quite a good buffer, though, before you did a first
gig. Well, this
gig.
Is the thing. Like, I left school being like, how do I continue that? I really liked getting attention for saying stuff and being able to prepare something to say and then saying it and people laughing at it. And, like, it was like a perfect training. That's why I think I started stand-up when I was, like, 17, 18, because I'd had this school
so already
sort
doing
of,
it.
Like, trained you.
Were you being funny in these speeches?
Well, I was being funnier than the other kids. I don't think you'd say I was being funny. I don't know.
Was like, Tristan not in it?
No, he didn't. He's not the kind of guy who'd sit down and
just naturally
write him down.
Funny. Doesn't need it. doesn't need the clap.
No, generally people who got attracted to public speaking were the people who wanted to be politicians. Who wanted to like debate and set out like you know their arguments. And I was just an idiot who wanted to sort of show off being funny. And so I do remember that being my thing.
Am I right in thinking one of the things that you brought today is a speech?
So yeah, I've not listened to any of the things that I've brought to you today. I asked my mum to find some raps that I did when I was a kid.
Fantastic.
Which are presumably going to be very embarrassing. But then she also found this one speech, which I think was when I was quite young at school. And I think it's an after-dinner speech, which the premise of which is definitely quite problematic. I can't remember it, but I think it's something to do with Liverpool getting the Commonwealth Games and the events that would take place at that, with quite a regressive, stereotypical portrayal of, you know, the quote-unquote Scouser. So I apologise profusely for this speech and not the culture that allowed me to think that it was, you know, a funny thing to do. But my parents tell me it is quite funny still, so let's...
OK, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Liverpool Commonwealth Games celebration dinner.
I've got a Scouser voice.
As you all know, we have won the huge honour of hosting the 2005
That's
Games.
That's me.
And we hope to make a really good Scouser. Fist of it, come on.
That's a better Scouser accent than I can do now.
Become more prominent in the world of sport, however. We here at Sport Liverpool have altered some of the events ever so slightly. Some of you will know the changes, but just to be sure, I will outline them now in this speech.
That's a really good accent, isn't it?
For the opening ceremony.
Yeah, it feels like Steve McManaman's in the room.
Petrol bomb thrown by a native Liverpoolian.
Petrol bomb, that's quite strong.
In the traditional dress of balaclava and shell suit. The flame will be contained in a large overturned police van situated on top of the stadium. We hope this is going to be a huge spectacle for all the Commonwealths to view what a great and prosperous city Liverpool is.
Oh my God.
Now, on to the events. As I said, many of Liverpool's competitors haven't done very well when hosting the game, so we have changed some of the events to aid the local athletes here on Merseyside. I'll start with the sprint. Competitors will have to hold a video recorder in one arm and a microwave oven in the other, and our other sound is a starting pistol. A police dog will be released.
Oh, Harry Hargles on the arse. Released.
Still struggling on my arse.
For the race.
Least.
Actually, the hurdles are very similar to this event, just with added obstacles like car bonnets, hedges, garden fences, and walls.
Oh my God.
Fantastic.
Mate.
I mean, it really is just hanging away at that one.
Let's stop it there a sec. I love that you just, in lieu of a huge punchline there, just went fantastic. Just put, oh, that's
it's
a good word
trick,
in a Scouse accent. Fantastic.
Yeah, if you say a word quickly after a punchline, it just doesn't matter.
Brilliant. Yeah, just chucking in one of them. Fantastic. And that's the Scouse one to do. How'd you feel hearing some of that back?
Really impressed with the quality of my accent. I think if you would, that is far is that better than I could do now.
Really? So literally just in that time alone, we had petrol bombs, balaclavas and shell suits, the torch will be in a police van on top of the stadium.
Overturned police van. That is a quirky, surreal image. I don't really know how that would...
It's kind of like a hedge hopping hurdles to get away.
Yeah.
Jumping over car bonnets, fences, stuff like that.
I really do apologise for that. It'd be quite well executed. horrific comedy. I'm so sorry.
Should we do a rap then? What do you remember about these raps?
So I started rapping at school mainly because there was another kid in my year who started rapping, and I thought it was so ridiculous that I wrote a sort of battle rap to combat him, and then somehow ended up recording that, meaning that it was the thing that I found ridiculous. I was then subsequently just doing myself too.
So you did the first diss track.
Yeah,
you started the first
probably not the
diss
first
battle.
Diss track, but at Reading Blue Coat School,
Coast,
without a doubt, would have been the first. Yeah, basically what happened was he was rapping. I thought it was ridiculous, so I wrote a battle rap, and then my little snaky mate like just went and told him immediately, told his whole little gang that I'd written a rap, and they were like, "Go on, then record it, send it over."
That shows the class of school you were at. That it wasn't, "Go on, then rap it live." It was, "Go on, then pop home for your SM56 recording equipment and your editing skills, burn it onto a disc, and then bring it in the next day."
So my mum used to be a radio producer, so she had all the tech. sat down, just laid out some bars, you know, one take.
What do we know? What
not,
is that one of these?
Lots of takes.
Is one of these this battle rap?
Honestly, I don't know. I know that we've got three tracks, and I know one of them is about cricket. I don't know the other two tracks that we got. I think I did about five or six in my time. I think you should just drop it and just see what comes out.
Christian Austin.
What's that? Cricket one. This is the cricket one. This is the
Tom.
Cricket one.
Simon Darden. Ian Franklin. Sarvan Gandesha.
Oh,
Guy Glover.
God. Turn it up.
Clive Lambden. Ben Miller. Chris Nunn.
Right.
Prez Patel.
This is the cricket one.
Look. If you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip? It's the massive clash. Welcome to the Saturday, the fated 2nd of September, when you'll have your say. You're the best team from the village, there's no shit today. Every player's got his strength, there's no Johnny Gay. So it's time to stand up and fucking play. Little Wick Green will have to fall down and pray. Away from our scary bouncers, they'll have to sway. It's help yourself time, like a Pizza Hut buffet. But CDCC, let's not lose our concentration. We know we're the best, we've got a solid foundation. Every game has been tough, expect much frustration, but today is the reward. Let's take the club to salvation. When we play today, we need serious emotion. To the captain, everyone must pledge devotion. Listen to prayers, he's got the magical potion to take the first 11 to a league promotion.
You better lose yourself in the cricket the moment you own it. You better never fold it slow. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to go top of the Children's League. We are the champions. You better lose yourself in the cricket the moment you own it. Never bowl it slow. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to go top of the Children's League. We are the champions, yo.
I'm swearing a lot to try and get you wound up, like in American football when they have their huddles. We'll go to Little Wick Green and we'll fuck them up, so they want their mummy to give them some cuddles. The green, their ground is serene, but the motherfuckers are mean. They want to be seen beating the mighty Cookham Dean, but that's not going to happen. Their stumps, our bowlers will fucking snap them. Their umpire, our batsman will fucking kneecap them. We're Cookham Dean and we don't give a shite. People are scared of our muscular might. All the Little Wick players have had a sleepless night. This game is a war, that's all there is to say. Their entire team said that you were all gay.
That's a
shame.
So
go and beat them,
mate.
Show them the way. Every soldier
nice.
Stand up, this is the judgment day.
You better lose yourself in the cricket the moment you own it. You better never bowl it slow. You only get one shot.
I'm exhausted.
Miss your chance to go top of the Children's.
Don't tell me you're not wound up for a game of cricket after that.
I'm absolutely buzzing. So what are we talking? First of all, actually, before we get into this,
yeah,
I don't think morally that's better than the.
No, I didn't know it had the thing about.
Not even the gay thing. It's the it's the poshest thing I've ever heard in my life. Your enunciation of T's in that song is.
I think it would be insincere to affect a way of not talking just because for your rap career, you know, sort of Mike Skinner.
Fine with it for your public speaking career. A couple of things you don't often hear in a rap. Village.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut Buffet. Chiltern League. But then at one point, you said, we're going to fucking play.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. It's fucking kneecap up.
Now, did you play this before the game?
Yeah, so the team? I played village cricket growing up. I couldn't play in the last match. We needed to win it to get promotion. So I thought the only way that my presence could be felt on the team, my motivational inspiration, would be to send them a rap, which they huddled around a CD player before they went out to field and all listened to that, you know. And they won and we got promoted. So,
oh, right. Yeah. So it did actually, you could argue, did actually work.
Necessarily worked.
When you say village cricket,
yeah.
What sort of age ranges are we talking in this squad?
Yeah,
because the village cricket I associate with being like any age from like 14 to like 50.
The players that I read out at the start, the nucleus would be sort of 14 to 30, but then you had a few talented 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds still knocking about.
And they would have listened to this?
Yeah. I mean, I luckily wasn't there to see how it went down, but people still talk about it now, you know.
I can imagine they still talk about it now.
I asked for this, you know, this was the first rap that I found, because there's still people at the cricket club who've got it on loop every game, you know.
How are they
it's
getting
like
on now?
Never walk alone at Liverpool. You know?
I wouldn't bring Liverpool up again, mate. What are they?
I just need to clarify. I need to clarify that there was one homophobic insult in that rap, but the first one, I'm saying, I used the name Johnny Gay as a bad player, right? That is someone who exists at my club. He's called Jonathan Gay, and at the time he wasn't good enough to play for the second level. So I wasn't just using Johnny Gay as a.
Well, then you could argue.
But then at the end, when I said they all called you gay, that was definitely homophobic.
No, maybe they're calling you Johnny Gay. That's how shit you are.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all calling you Johnny Gay.
That's what I meant.
The amount I'm having to dig you out and this... Oh, I'm trained for this stuff. There's a lot of stuff in my past that's going to come out. Anyway, how are the team getting on now in the league, if they're still listening to this? Any idea?
Well, obviously it's not the season currently. I played once or twice last year. I think they're actually in a different league setup now. I think that was back in the Chilterns League. We're now in the Thames Valley. Thames Valley 5 hours.
Oh, you're going to have to rewrite it.
There'll be a new one.
There'll be someone who arrives in Thames Valley.
I feel like I'm going to give up the acting for the next 10 years. Just get straight back into the rap.
Well, you got an EP to release. What number do you want for the second one?
Well, it makes no difference to me. I don't know what either of these songs are.
All right. I'll pick two.
All right.
Memories?
Yeah.
No.
Diamond coming in the house.
Diamond was my name.
What up?
Pause it.
I was called Diamond because...
What are you talking about?
The guy the other guy was called Chris Brimfield, and his rap name was Crystal. And so mine was like a parody of that. I don't know why I went Diamond, because that's nothing to do with my name.
No.
But it's D-I-E, Mund, as opposed to D-I-A, that I thought was a suitable satire on Crystal. So that's my rap name.
So, Diamond. Crystal was your rival that you were writing track to.
He's not really my rival, I suppose.
He was the one that inspired your.
Weirdly, Tristan started rapping after me, did loads more raps. They were way better than mine. He was called Lil Trizzle. See, it's funny, isn't it? Funny than Diamond.
Yeah, it's much better than Diamond. Diamond makes no sense. I'm just trying to think of a rap name you could have had based on jewellery. That would have worked for your name.
I don't know what this song is. I've heard the introduction, I still don't really know what it is.
Let's have it.
It's where we all play cricket.
What? It's about cricket again.
Cooking team cricket.
What?
Club.
It's another cricket rap.
Wicked, 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 wicked.
Sorry.
Cooking team cricket. Club. It's where we all play cricket. Cooking team cricket club. Wicky, 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 wicky. This is a song about the CDCC. Brought to you by the DIEMOND. On the weekend, it's the only place to be. See the first 11 play, and you will agree that nothing can beat a hard, bouncy wicket. Ben Miller licking boundaries, that's just the ticket. Bowl him a half volley, he knows where to stick it. As Boycott would say,
that's just good cricket.
Batting with Simon Darden, Ben knows he's got to get the runs and make the scoreboard flows. Simon's educated privately and wears nice clothes, yet he still stacks the shelves in Waitrose.
That's funny.
The others who get runs except for Ben, Bibby, Austin Prez and Clive Lamden, building really high totals like Christopher Wren, so we can go and bowl the opposition out again. Cookham Dean Cricket Club, it's where we all play cricket. Cookham Dean Cricket Club, club. Wicked, 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 wicked. To bowl a side out, you need the right mix at CBC.
Tom.
Okay, I didn't realise I'd done two songs about cricket.
Absolutely amazing that you only... You know what the rap world needs? You actually did spot a gap in the market, to be fair. Can I just say, it's very lucky for you that cricket rhymes with wicket. Otherwise, you've got no rap career.
Yeah, sorry about that. I thought there might be a little bit more varied. I definitely did release like five or six tracks.
It's really interesting watching you listen to these back for the first time and have them come back into your head and also justify certain lines because you have become your own hype man. You're now in it going, that's funny, good line, and then just like topping the end of the lines.
Perfect.
Wiki, 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 wiki. Oh my God, incredible. Educated privately, wears nice clothes but still stacks the shelves at Waitrose.
Yeah, that was obviously a diss towards Simon Dardenne, who...
Sorry,
to be fair to him, he's a soldier. He went to Afghanistan, you know, he's done, but at that point...
That doesn't rhyme with much.
That was pre his war hero times, very much during his Waitrose times. So.
Also, but just like, it just shows, because stacking the shelves at Waitrose is like a lot of people would consider, well, Waitrose, that's posh and
it's
lovely.
It's badly written. You can't analyze it.
That's the upbringing you had. You only had Waitrose to go on. It's like, wait, it's a supermarket. It must be shit.
Yeah, of course, yeah. No, I mean, what about my other artistic things has made you think that I had any kind of sense of what was good or bad?
Of course.
What is appropriate or not?
I'd say that's more accomplished rap-wise than the other one.
Oh, great.
It's a more difficult beat.
Yeah, but the other one was supposed to be, you know, getting people warmed up, whereas that was obviously just more...
Yeah, you didn't have to hype anyone up.
Melodic,
what was the purpose of that? Where did that
go? Literally, I just think the first one went down so well. A lot of these raps were created. There was a local radio station called Cookham Summer FM that my mum did some production on, and Timmy Mallett was the face of. And I did a show, and every day I just made a rap about the village. And one of them, obviously, close to my heart, Cookham Dean, CDCC. So I think I just did it for that.
So you did a rap a day?
Yeah, for a week. And I've never been lost. If anyone out
surprised.
There has got...
A mysterious fire at the radio station.
Yeah, man, people are just begging for that diamond.
All right, I've got to rate them now. Right. Three categories. First category is originality. Now, bear in mind I'm doing this for both for the raps and for the speech.
Okay.
Originality out of five. Well, they're both... One of them's a parody song, and one of them's a bunch of jokes about Liverpool that you kind of only knew because you'd heard other people do jokes
also,
about Liverpool.
I am just using music that's already been created.
And it is music that doesn't
really
exist.
That is really, by definition, not original.
It's not original, but it's quite an original... If we look in a broader way, it's quite an original thing to be doing at school, given that only you and, it turns out, two other people were doing this at the time. I mean, if that was at my school, it would be like, oh, it's the only one in the school and we're all going to talk about that forever.
Yeah.
And never let you forget it, which they didn't.
In one year.
As you'll hear. I'm going to give you... I'll give you a three.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I think it's a generous three, but I'll give it a three for originality. The next one is pure teen horniness. Now, I've never heard anything less horny in my life.
It's a negative horniness.
I mean, that is absolutely the
cricket
least horny.
It's the
like,
least
rap,
horny sport.
Rap is probably the horniest music genre there is.
Yeah.
And you've somehow managed to make it
very
completely devoid of any sexuality as you rap exclusively about wickets. There's not even anything close that could be construed as like some sort of innuendo or euphemism.
No. I wasn't thinking about that, mate.
It's straight down the middle.
I wasn't thinking about girls. I was thinking about my rhyme schemes.
To use a phrase you might appreciate, you were playing it with a straight bat. And I appreciate that. So I'm going to go zero for pure teen horniness.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse Club, alternative title, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose. The Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose score, which is how much potential does this show for what you've gone on to become? Fair bit. Now... The reason I say that is, pit my toaster, pit my ride routine.
Yeah.
Tom Rosenthal, I suppose you don't do that anymore.
No.
Descartes,
yeah.
You are in plebs.
Yeah, yeah.
Wearing probably a similar outfit. But that wasn't the piece, so yeah, you do public speaking, but you wouldn't do the accent. The raps. You've done things like this in shows that are like slightly more set PC. I don't know, it's not the same as this, but the outlet's there. So it's sort of like, you do see it, potential-wise, I do see it, so I'll give that a three.
All right. So 6 out of 10.
Six out of 15.
Is that good or bad? Does that matter? Is that a bad score?
Of course it doesn't matter, mate. It's a podcast. None of this matters. Now you have to listen to something of mine.
All right.
So normally I would read something. I would read something and then you'll grade this after. Now this, you told me you had some raps, but you hadn't listened to them. So I searched my back catalogue to see what I could find. It's not cricket based. Mine is a rap parody though. Oh, mate. I really don't want this to be on this show. Let's have it.
Hello.
Can I have the thing to grade it?
Good evening. Listeners, this album is dedicated to all the people who have been patting me on the back from day one, telling me that I could achieve anything I set my mind to. And for all the people who called the cops on me when I was just on the street trying to get my cat down from that tree. Genuinely, a lot of help. Thanks very much. It's all good, baby, baby. Twist. It was all a dream. I used to read Smash Hits magazine. Atomic Kitten, NSYNC and E17. I learned the lyrics on the cards. Five bad boys were getting down while Snow Patrol were chasing cars. I let my tape rock till my tape stopped. Bubble wrap popped around a CD player Nan got. Way back when Neil Buchanan did the Art Attack with the Crayola pack. The Power Rangers got in trouble and I nearly had a heart attack. But I was part of that. Yo, a little teapot, short and stout. And now the times have changed. But yeah, the jury's still out, yo. Because I've got long hair and I'm a little bit skinny. But I'm a bare bone man. I still feel like Winnie and I got bounced like Tigger. And my dad's a lot bigger. So you really shouldn't laugh about my feminine figure.
Okay, I mean, that's like really horny. That's real nice.
Whoa, where's the horniness in that? Talking about Smash Hits magazine, mate.
You only lost one bit of horniness when you said you had a feminine figure. Apart from that, I thought like, that the music was really sexy.
What is interesting about that is I hadn't realised until listening to it here in these headphones that I had recorded my own hype behind it. So all of the end of those lines, yeah, is me twice.
Serious production.
There's some production
on
that.
I never even thought to do that.
It would be GarageBand, that. My first forays into GarageBand. I'm older than I want to be.
What? And then what was that song about? Just about yourself, really?
Well, have you heard the song Juicy by the Notorious B.I.G.?
Clearly not.
Well, it's in a direct parody of that. So his one is, it was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine, Salt and Pepper and Heavy D.
Yeah.
So I'm literally just going, I'll just do this as like a home counties young British lad. I mean, pretty much identical to what you were doing.
Yeah.
But I didn't go as far as to make it about cricket.
No.
And be that on the nose. It was
just a shame for you, isn't it?
I'll just do a direct parody of this. I didn't spot any homophobia in it, though, which you said was vital for a rap. So maybe some of us were a little bit more together, or maybe we were just a bit older and that was a bit more recently.
B.I.G. was quite homophobic, though, actually, if you're going to be true to the form.
By association.
What is it then? Horniness and
yeah, so originality, first of all.
Well, I guess, yeah, similar. The idea to parody Notorious B.I.G. requires a level of originality. But
I think I might have stolen that off someone else, actually.
The genre.
I think I'd heard another parody of it. Yeah, well, I'll parody that.
You say, did you see my work? Did you see my Pimp My Ride? And think, well, the idea parody is quite interesting.
I wouldn't be surprised if I saw a clip of Bo Burnham doing that and then was like, I'll just do that.
Yeah. And then everyone else thinks you're original and clever.
So originality, what are we giving it out of 5?
2. You know, it's fine. I didn't even get the reference.
Yeah.
But I like you and I like the idea of doing a rap. Of a posh kid doing a rap. We need more of that, I think.
Pure teen horniness?
Oh, 4.
4.
Yeah, because of your feminine figure, not to point off.
Where was the horniness before? Just in the vibe.
Music, yeah, the vibe.
Yeah.
Do you not class it as a very horny track?
On this podcast...
It's the most horny you've ever made me feel. Without doubt.
On this podcast, there has been far hornier things that I've read out. They're right. Literally directly saying, God, I wish I could lose my virginity.
Oh, right.
Whereas this, to me, is the subtle. This on the subtle side of
it. But it's a clear attempt to lose your virginity, isn't it?
Yeah,
you're not hoping that a girl listens to that? I think this guy's got the flow of Notorious B.I.G. but from Harpenden. I don't have to go to California now.
Okay, and Mickey Mouse Club, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose score.
Yeah.
And you think it represents me quite well?
Yeah. I don't know. 4. Yeah.
Really? So yeah. 10?
Yeah.
So 10 out of 15 plays your 6 out of 15. In cricket, how would we be getting on there? Who's the winner?
That's an impossible question to answer, isn't it? 10 is a higher number than 6.
10 is a higher number than 6.
Without doubt.
So technically I win, but the point of this is that we're both losers. That's the message. Now, we come to your final piece. This is just the third rap that you say you think is for someone's birthday.
I'm pretty sure that it is a birthday present to Andrew Ball, called Andy B in the song, and I think it does make reference to Chris Stahl and my previous beef with him. I really hope it's that song, and I really hope you enjoy it.
Let's find out. Yeah, alright.
Yeah, alright. Alright.
Get a hello in there.
I'm sorry, I don't mean any of it.
I don't. Okay. No, wait.
My name is Diamond and I'm here to say my shit.
No, it's
in
not.
What is already a crowded market.
This is the diss track.
From the hardcore streets of CKD, yeah. Where for the summer fate we put up a marquee. I am well troubled and pretty poor. I could only just afford my Mac G4. I'm here to preach the hypocritic oath of Chris Darr and all the other fuckers at Luco. I've had enough.
This is your diamond in the rough.
I'm hot and I'm a rap pro.
Let me tell you, Ludacris, I got hoes.
But they ain't Armani on a Prada sweater. They dressed in tracky bees, flogging up the sixth form centre. Offering up their holes for any boy to enter. But Marcus Shah's world, they are the centre. But we ain't here to talk about Marcus Shah. We're discussing future star, that's called Chris Star. You want to be a rapper, rap number one. So desperate to be black, you're the reverse Michael Jackson. Get yourself a real skill. Anything you can do this, just let me take a break and give your ex a kiss.
I used to go out with his ex-girlfriend.
My rap style consists of a flavour as hot as a furnace. If I'm hit or miss, that's only because the target's moving and my Parkinson's disease is not improving.
That's a weird thing, is it?
Listen to how shit this is. The music of oppression by a middle-class kid. You may think you are the centre of attention, but any straight person will care to mention you're as entertaining as a ruptured spleen with the verbal dexterity of Jamie Dean.
He's famous, he didn't say much.
I'm not speaking as a critic, just a hip-hop listener. You'll see these are posted. I'm a Death Row commissioner. Some people say, let your rap give flower. I say, keep the shit confined to the shower.
My name is Diamond and I'm here to say
shit
in what is already a crowded market. From
I'm
the
gonna
hardcore
be
streets of CKD, where for the summer fate we put up a marquee. I am well troubled and pretty poor. I could only just afford my Mac G4. I'm here to preach the hypocritic oath of Chris Darr and all the other fuckers at Blue.
But listen, dog. Every rapper's got a crew. 50 Cent got your unit, Dr. Dre got Snoop. The man in question calls the pirates his bunch, so when he layers some bread, they'll
it's
throw
just the
a punch.
The pirates,
but one question for the mateys, where the fuck's Johnny Depp? When was the last time you pushed a prisoner off deck? Pirates wear eye patches, why are you an exception? Even if it does result in poor depth perception, individually, you people are sociable. But when you're together, it's another Chernobyl. As Dizzy Rascal said, pirates stand tall, let's go and put a hole in Harry Burlow's wall.
They did that.
How about now we go and shop this from
Gap? They kicked a hole for a wall.
Stole the godfather of rap. 50 Cent and Kanye West grew up being shot at. Eminem grew up in domestic combat. So, Crystal, where have you been shot? Let's see. I'm not talking about your fucking BCG. Gangster rappers go to rehab in prison. But let's give you credit. You're a criminal wizard. You're a lawbreaker in full bloom. Oh, shit, man. He had beer in his room, but that's not it. Went on an adventure like Alice into the depths of the Queen's second palace through the hedges. Your way, you
oh, this
force.
Is just a story, yeah.
Yeah, that'll get you on the cover of the source.
He broke into Buckingham Palace. A lot of this requires a lot of context.
Yeah, yeah. So I hope you can still rhyme about bitches in the club when you're scrubbing a naked granny in the bathtub.
I think he had a part-time job cleaning old people.
That's it. My name is Diamond and I'm here to say my shit in what is already a crowded market. Yo.
Yeah.
CKD, Triple Triangle, pick it up. We put up a marquee.
What do you do for a living? Well, I just clean old people.
Thank you. It's really good.
Oh, I hope I don't get a rap battle because that's going to come up.
I'm sorry, I teed up the song wrong. Yeah, so that's just
brilliant.
The diss track.
We'd heard about the diss track, so it's good to get some closure on it. I've got some things to say.
Bloody hell. Lot of backstory.
Oh, God. I mean, where do I start? I love that Jamie Dean is just a guy who famously didn't say much. Everyone's got one. There was always one at school.
Yeah.
And he's getting referenced in the song.
He was entertaining as a ruptured spleen with the verbal dexterity of Jamie Dean.
I feel like spleens came up a lot at school as well. For spleen, it's
like
a quicksand type thing, and anvils. It's like we only knew about them in childhood. Spleens all the time. Nice to hear depth perception and crowded markets met.
Yeah, so the pirates were like their gang.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't need
tell you what is a clever line, a clever rap line.
Yeah.
Give your ex a kiss.
Completely didn't mean to do that, but yeah.
Right. Oh, you would have meant to do that. I bet in the lyrics it's just the letter X. Mm, that's pretty clever stuff.
Yeah, just used to go out with his ex-girlfriend.
Just to add to the Village and Pizza Hut references, marquee.
It's always a marquee
and BCG.
I just couldn't look anywhere without seeing a marquee, to be fair.
I imagine that went down really well. It's full of so many references. It's like ending on a song of callbacks in an Edinburgh show, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's full of so many references to specific things.
I don't think it went down that well with Chris Darr, mate. He was fuming. Bloody, yeah.
We're going to have to do another episode where you get all his stuff. He needs to come on the podcast, really, so I can hear the response.
Yeah, we should definitely get Chris Darr on Face Off.
Is there still beef? Has it been squashed?
We never really talked. He's a nice guy, you know?
You heard it here first. The Chris Dahl diamond beef is long
24
dead.
Hours to reply.
Tom Rosenthal, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you. It was absolutely horrible.
Thanks for inventing.
I'm really sorry for my horrible opinions that I have when I was a young person.
Oh, there's bad opinions, but you're the inventor of cricket rap. We appreciate that very much. There we go, there it was. There was Tom Rosenthal inventing an entirely new genre called cricket rap, as well as doing some horrific public speaking. TomRosenthal.net/dates to get his tour dates. If you're going to the Liverpool one, make sure to take your balaclava, your shell suit, all your Molotov cocktails to throw at the stage. You know, all the stuff that Tom thinks you like. Obviously, he's aware that it's a crowded market. He raps about crowded markets, so he knows there's a lot of tours on sale, including mine, so go and see that instead. At Liverpool, I've always been perfectly pleasant to you. I love you very much, and there's tickets available for the Liverpool date, so come along to that instead of Tom Rosenthal. reesejames.co.uk/live-1, I think, or just Google it. Just Google it, mate. As ever, if you've got any early work you want to send us, if you think it can top what Tom Rosenthal just did, then please send it, especially if you ever made any tracks on GarageBand or something like that. EJ was the original one. Then send it to earlyworkpodcast@gmail.com. And if it's good enough, and I believe you, then I might play it eventually in the outro to this. If this is the first time listening to the podcast, go and check out some of the old ones. Had some great guests. Tom Lucy did some songs as well. He had some song lyrics about being American, which he isn't. Lolita Fopi did a bunch of fan fiction. Rose Matafeo brought some spooky stories. Maisie Adam did some love letters she was commissioned to write, and whoever else has been broadcast in the meantime, I don't know. That's it for now. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast, give it a rating if you want to do that, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.